Hello, and welcome back to the Laundry Room Podcast. It is episode number whatever it is, and I am joined by the poshest, most fabulous lady that has ever graced these four walls. I don't know. She's gracing some walls anyway in this country. Please make your noise be fabulous for Lady Portia Diamante.
Woo! May the Lord shine his light down upon you, my dear.
Oh, I hope he does. I hope he shines something on you, you absolute fuck.
To be here. I'm so excited. I have to say, full disclaimer, I am a fan. I have thoroughly enjoyed listening to all the shows.
You have? Oh, well, yes. Thank you so much. You're so kind. I'm very glad. I know it did take a while to get you here. You've been all over the world. You've been travelling.
I'm jet setting. Like yourself, international girl.
I know. You've been in Port Rush. I went to Spain. It's been very good. We're definitely out there. She was up in Port Thrush, actually. Uh-huh. That's the right way. Yes, but we finally got you here. Of course, we greeted you outside with the horse and cart, the fanfare.
Yes, which was lovely.
Quite a long rider she needed as well.
Indeed, yes.
What else? You have got your fresh fruit platter.
I've got my fresh fruit platter. I've got my kittens in a basket. I was carried up the stairs, and I've got somebody watching my car.
That's right. One of the local men has been called out in which to keep an eye on the car, so it's been very good. I'm like, thank you so much, sir.
Because my fear was being sold into sex slavery, but then the nice thing is, you were saying that people would be so intimidated by me that they wouldn't sell me. So
yeah,
that's great.
They'd just be like, no, I'm sorry, you're too beautiful.
I know. We don't know what to do with you.
People couldn't afford you.
You've got your own teeth, so we don't know what to do.
Well, sure, say nothing. Thank God these teeth are mine anyway. That's great.
You've not been to Turkey?
No, I haven't. But I was actually contacted about working in Turkey, and I was like,
oh, have you? Oh,
no. Lovely. I'll pass your details on, though. I'd be like, I have a beautiful woman here who requires no surgery. She just would love a gig.
I was, oh my gosh, my first like adult holiday whenever I was 17 or 18, and I went to Turkey with one of my girlfriends, and I saw this drag show. It was amazing. Oh. It was talk of the town.
Was it
Marmaris?
I went there too when I was 10.
And
look at us now.
It could have been the same one. I'd never seen drag or anything like that. So it was actually, it was so amazing. And what happened was, it was chicken in a basket or something like that there, and wine or beer, and it was all part, and it was all you could drink.
I remember,
but it was
warm
wine.
Yes,
and I was
vinegar.
There going, oh, this is so amazing. And it was one of my early days of, you know, going out and going mad. So when I was there, I was just drinking away, and then I was feeling sick. This is so embarrassing, but I was like, I'm just having too much fun, I don't want to leave. So I was like, I think I'm going to be sick. So I literally just went like this down one side of me and carried on watching the show. And then I was like, I think I'm going to be sick again. So I just was sick down the other side.
So basically each side of the sides of the seat were just booked completely out.
So do you know, the guys that were on stage were like, we were watching you because you were so into it, and obviously I was so young and pretty and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was so young and pretty.
I was so young and pretty.
Did you have your lovely long hair at the time?
No, this is pre that. So then I went back the next week sober, and they were like, we were going to ask you if you wanted to be in the show because you just looked like you were so, you know, so enthusiastic.
So gay.
Like, but you were so drunk at the end, we couldn't, you know. Basically, I was carried out. So that could, my drag career could have started in Turkey.
You could have been somebody's fifth wife.
Mm-hmm. I'd
imagine.
Love that. Oh my God.
Literally, you wouldn't have known you in a burqa. You'd be like, hello, my little pet. Giving kisses and all sorts.
Wouldn't have faced me. I mean, that would sun damage. You know what I mean?
I know, imagine. You would definitely be sold in the sex slavery now.
I would be perfect for a Tuesday wife, because then I'd have the rest of the week to myself, and I just have to prep myself for one day, and then it's like, that's do whatever it. You want. You've got from 4 until 8 the night, and then that you have to go on to your woman tomorrow.
That's enough. My pit of bread has seen a lot, and I can't.
Yes,
it's been very, very busy.
I have a podcast to do, love. Come on, hurry up.
It's called Fourth Wife Business. Yes. I'm like, hello. If you're a fourth wife, listen into my podcast where I tell you how to get the best out of your Turkish husband.
You see, I'm the perfect wing woman. I'll go under your arm. I'll go and I'll network the room for you.
Oh, wow.
I'll laugh at your jokes. I'll tell everybody how amazing you are. I'll get you set up in business. Three other people who you didn't even know them before you came in. And then by the end of the night, I'll be like, okay, love, see you later.
There's a ding there. That's actually, oh my God, TurkishHusband.com.
Yes.
My computer's been infested with viruses due to her arrival. He says, hello, my darling, you're very beautiful. I want to marry you.
It's not just your computer that's infested with viruses. That's why Kemith Moon has mat suit as well. I know you said drag, but I've kind of done an ABBA style, jumpsuit.
I kind of like it. It's like I've been cheated by you and I don't know where. Or I've been infested by you and I don't know where.
I don't know when.
Well,
at some point.
I want to know, tell us where it all began. Not in Turkey. Where did it all... No. Where did Lady Portia... Or did you have any... Was Lady Portia the first drag name or did you have something before that? Like,
so, the very... So how it all began basically was I came out of my mum's womb with a top hat and a cane and I was like, where is my light? You know,
top hat and a cane.
Uh-huh. And the woman was split open. I came out tap dancing and I went to this hippy dippy school, Rudolf Steiner, where they're all about, you know, free expression, and I had very open-minded parents, and they, you know, who I am today is who I was as a 7-year-old child. And at no point
I could picture.
And at no point was anybody ever going, you know, don't be you. It was like, so whenever, you know, when you're asking children, what would you like to be when you grow up? And they'll say like a footballer or, you know, whatever. I was like, I want to be a bridesmaid. Because I had been to weddings and I kind of thought the bridesmaid have more fun.
Yeah.
Because they get to wear the lovely dress. And then in those days, women wore little like gloves. So,
do you remember that?
Yeah, so they wore gloves and wee hats and all.
Yes.
So then because I was so cute, then, and all the women loved me, I'd wear their wee gloves and carry their bouquets and all. And they'd be like, oh, isn't he lovely? He's great.
You would have been a paedophile's dream. You're like, oh my God. See, so, if you were anywhere near Jeffrey Donaldson, he would have had you away.
Uh-huh. So that had always, you know, femininity and a lot of my role models, even in my primary school, my primary school teacher was so glamorous. Like,
I had some very glamorous ones as well. Some like boots, but some very glamorous ones. You're like,
And one day this teacher came in and she was called Mrs. Laurie. And she was talking about, I had said about how, you know, how lovely and tanned her legs were. And she was like, oh, this is called fake tan.
What are you doing?
And so I'm P6.
Oh my Christ.
And she ordered from the catalogues. So there'd always be these catalogue deliveries. And it was always really gorgeous tailored things with big flowy skirts.
Okay.
And then she lifted up her skirt to her knee. And she was like, look, like I only tan to where people can see. And I was like, what is this like? And she was like, tan in a bottle. And I was like, what is this revolutionary thing?
There's a 6-year-old literally coming in black as a boot.
I was like, I've got my fake tan. And then I was just like, I want to be that whenever I grow up.
Oh my God, that. I get 6 years old, shows your knees.
No, P6.
Oh, P6.
P6.
That's what's about. Big 10, 11.
Yes. Oh. So then because I went to Rudolf Steiner, then there was a dress up box and I would wear the bride's outfits of them. You know, I'd always be the woman and, you know, all that sort of thing.
Of course.
And then secondary school was like such a polar opposite to anything that I'd ever experienced in my life. Mm. And it was, and I like, not to make any, you know, so when I'm not going to use this word lightly, but I was brutalized daily and abused
in
daily
secondary school
by not just a group of people, but by the entire school, because they had never experienced anybody like me, because I had dyslexia. The education and library board had, you know, once I had to leave Rudolf Steiner and go into like mainstream school where they had a dyslexic unit, that was lovely, and that's where the primary school teachers were. And what they did was instill into everybody in the class, no matter what you want to do, you can do it. So she got me to audition for the school play, and she goes, and I wouldn't go round for the audition.
You're like, no.
But she was like, pulled me aside and she's like, why are you not going for this? Because you'd be great. Because she could see how like theatrical and everything. And I was like, because I can't read. And then you have to learn lines. And she goes, well, if you get this part, we'll make your lines your homework. So go and audition. And it was like a poem and a song. And then that was it. So they really instilled in me that there was nothing I couldn't do. So I went into first year going, my goal by the end of, you know, fifth year was, this is going to be amazing. Look at how far, because I knew how far I'd come in the couple of years of being in that primary school to how far I will come by the time because I just expected it to be like that. And my goal was, which is so random, I just can't wait to pick up a book and or a newspaper and be able to read it.
Because
I couldn't read. And it, what happened over those next 5 years was just, was nuts. Do you know what I mean?
And secondary school was fucking wild. I even hated mine. It was awful. Because they always just, they don't straight like fruit. I'm like, yeah, what? Yeah. I was built like a baked potato in a blazer.
I know.
And now look at me. Still a baked potato-esque.
Except you're in sequence.
Exactly. I'm like, we do love a good sequence. So where was your very first gig as Lady Portia? Did you have a previous drag name?
Yes. So whenever, before everything all kicked off for us, Trudy and I and Tina and all were running about doing wee bits and pieces, and then Tina had won the Alternative Miss Ireland.
That's right.
And then Trudy was she studying fashion or getting into fashion? She was something like that, but she'd always be making these wee outfits, and she'd make these really random tiny wee outfits, but I'd have the balls to wear them. You know what I mean? So one was like this tiny wee like boob tube, one shoulder boob tube, but it only passed your nipples.
Right.
And then this, like, literally a belt with this big silver piece of material that went down one side. So, you know, all would have been out on display, except by chance I had a wee pair of like underwear that matched in. So I was out in those, and then you had to fill out like your name for something, and I said, I was originally going to be Ruby Diamond. On my very first ever night out, I was Ruby Diamond. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, it sounds a bit Blackpool Peary. It sounds a bit like, hey, oh, my wife, Yvonne, she's out the back, she's holding everything up. So,
yeah, come and see Ruby Diamond. Yes. You get yourself three bentos pie and a pint, £5. And
It just didn't quite
it wasn't
suit.
You. No. It wasn't.
And also then, you have to remember, there was no internet. So we didn't, there was nothing to go by. So I, because I was from Bangor and played on the whole North Down thing, so
yes.
Then I became this North Down housewife who married her first husband for the title and every husband after that for money. Tina was like, you know, the girl from the road and Mamai, and
yep.
Trudy was the quirky fashion one. So
yes,
we weren't ever trying to be anybody other than ourselves,
yep.
Which is why, you know, it all worked out
that's,
so well.
That's actually, yeah, because there was no internet, there was no Drag Race, there was none of this shit where it's like, oh, after Drag Race, you see a lot of queens are just a carbon copy of what they see on TV.
Yeah.
It's like this snatched makeup, hair done. I'm like, that's wonderful.
So
but
here's this will give you a laugh, right? So whenever we were going to start in the Parliament, the owner of the Parliament even said, so Tina had won the Alternative Miss Ireland, and we were trying to get like a show somewhere. So Tina went in and she said, look, what about us doing a show? And the owner of the bar, who owned the Parliament at the time, he was like, I don't know, like, men dress as women, do you think that would be a thing? Because it was, no one had really experience of it. And then basically it was like, well, it's working in Dublin, and the, you know, the bingo was happening and the George and everything
right.
like that. So he said, you just can do a Sunday night because there's 9 people in the bar and it's not like you can destroy it. Their Sunday became as busy as Friday and Saturday, and we had to move from downstairs to upstairs.
That's right.
And pack the place out. And interestingly, the exact same thing happened with Union Street.
That's
so
right.
They had to put in 2 extra fire doors into Union Street because it got so busy, and that's why they knocked that wall down so the overflow could go in there and our show could move into there. Because basically in the very early days of the Sunday Bingo Show, we, like, once we got onto that little 6 foot by 3 foot stage,
I remember it
we
well.
Couldn't move because it was like pride busy, you know.
It was so busy. Mm-hmm. I remember my very first show coming, it was literally the back room, which was kind of like a New York sort of street. Mm-hmm. Remember that? And then it was just a taller bit and then a smaller wee bit at the front, and then everybody sitting around, and you just got ready in the old Chop Chives, which is now Spaghetti Arms. And I remember coming in there and meeting you girls. I was like, hello, I'm a wee part wee weirdo with camera.
Can I take photographs?
Now look at me.
Like, do you still do photography or anything, or as a hobby, or
with my iPhone on my deck?
Yeah.
That's about it. No, just with myself.
Good filter, a couple of wee filters and everything.
Absolutely.
Like that. Take off that wee blemish, you know.
Like, oh God, a couple
hopefully
of hairs
the next time that scar will be gone, and you know that wee wart will be gone, and you know that wee redness blended out.
That green seepage will make it wipe that up, baby. Wipe that's crying. That poor thing at that eye's seeping. But no, I don't really bother with it much now, anyway. But I could just remember all my memories of those, and I can remember you were like, hello, walked off, didn't give a fuck. I'm like, Sassy said a story last week when you hosted with them in Libertine. Sassy was like, I love Portia so much. She used to always come in and go, hello, how was your week? What did you do? And Sassy went, oh, I did this, 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 great. And you were like, great. Turned your heels and walk away. And I was like, I fucking love that. She's like, great.
I've engaged enough as I'm willing to engage. And
that is it. It's like, that, I'm sorry. That's all I'm given. That's all I can do right now for you. Thank you very much. But yeah, so then that was the sun. So your very first show was in the Parliament. Then you just kicked off.
No. Yes. So the wee silly bars. It was called Scrumples or something like that. So the first ones that we did were, is it Granny Annie's on the corner by the courts? You know that bar that goes on the corner opposite House of Fraser?
Yes, that is. So I know where you're talking about. Yes. It used to be called Victoria's. It's now called.
So before it was even that. Right. So this is going back like the guts of 25 years. It was called something like Scrumples or something like that because that's what the Whigs were called. And we did a couple of shows in there that went really well. So because we were doing that and it was so well received, but that bar, mm-hmm. they didn't want to, they were a bit hesitant, you know, gay and all that, you know, Are We Nights worked great, but they didn't, because they were events. So they were like somebody's birthday and it was a fundraiser and it was a this.
I was going to say an event just coming
up. So that kind of gave us the idea of going, well, we'll go to the Parliament, the actual physical gay bar, and say, here's something that has really worked. What about putting that on here? Because what you also have to remember at that time, there was no scene.
No.
So basically what happened on a Saturday afternoon, there was this lovely girl called Donna. She was a straight girl. She did karaoke from 1 until 5. If she was off, there was no entertainment.
There was none.
So nothing happened throughout the week. Nothing happened, you know, at the weekends. It was a disco and it was, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And if Donna didn't do the karaoke, that was it. So
what if it wasn't for Donna, basically?
Well, that's the thing. If it wasn't for, there wasn't anything.
If it wasn't for Donna, then fuck all.
But that's why the owner then said, well, it's not like you can destroy anything because nothing happens on a Sunday.
Yeah, so go ahead. Yeah. Let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And
so then we started to do things like pub quizzes and karaoke nights. And then my first hosting job, I used to do a Friday night with them. And my get... This is so funny because my job, because this was such a new concept, email. So our shows were on cassette tape, right?
Yeah.
Like wind, you know, pray, stop, you know, record.
Use an old pencil to
people
take her
listen
back.
People listening to this will don't even know what a cassette tape
what
is,
the fuck
right?
It's a cassette.
Uh-huh. And
I've seen an emoji of it, but I don't know what it is.
So nobody had an email, and people that did have an email didn't necessarily have a computer, so nobody would ever send them. There was no such thing. I don't even know if mobile, I think mobile phones were a thing, but you'd pay as you go type thing. Do you remember?
Yes.
A brick.
Yes.
So there was no internet on your phone or anything like that. So people would have email addresses, but only be able to access them maybe at work. So my job was data collection, and I would go around and I would say, do you have an email address and we can send you what's going on? Uh-huh. So people would get really excited, be like, yes, I don't know anybody else to email me. So they would give me their email address and the bar would send them out. Like, you know, this is happening today. And it was like the very early days of, you know, publicising stuff.
Yes,
you know?
We were just email. Can I get your email? See if somebody asked me now. I'm like,
no.
And even Tills are like, hi, can I get your email address to send you a receipt? And I'm like, Roxy Tumble Dryer @.
But the thing is, I'm just like, no, it's all right, love, because I'm never going to, you know, apply for this, and I don't want the 10% off the next time I come in, because I might not come in.
I have money, thank you. I'm a North Down housewife, darling. I don't want discount codes.
It's not that. It's just then all of a sudden your inbox gets filled with everything.
Hello, welcome
to
my world. My inbox is the shit of shit, and I keep. With Gmail, it's great. You can try to block it, but it doesn't. It can only just get rid of one. Mm-hmm. I want to get rid of them all. I don't want to keep receiving emails of some lash company that I bought lash off and they're fucking for mice.
Well, so there is a good thing that you can do with that you highlight them, highlight all the ones that you want, and then instead of put into spam folder, you go to the left-hand side or the right-hand side, and there's three dots, and it says mark as spam.
Ooh.
So then what that does is, instead of you putting that out, because that's only a one-time thing, if you put this particular email address marked as spam, then it'll just direct that through all the time, and that will weed out all of the chaff.
Well, there you are, folks. If you're listening in and you are getting emails of shite.
A day without living is not a day without learning, dear, in my world.
Absolutely. You've heard it here first. How to get rid of your spam emails, thanks to Lady Portia DeMonte.
Indeed.
We're going to take a short break in the show at the moment while we just rewind our cassette tapes with a pencil. We will speak to you in just a second. See you soon. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Laundry Room Podcast with myself, Roxy Dumbledore, and this week I am joined by the Lady of North Down and East Belfast Council. It's Lady Portia de Monte.
I have to say that ad was amazing that you just put on there. It was gorgeous. I loved it. It was awesome because it's the ads I live for in this, because sometimes yeah. I'm walking around the park and it just goes, hold back with our little sponsors. But then there must be a problem with my phone because it goes very quiet, my phone. So I've tried to, I don't always get the ads.
Oh, do you not? Sometimes, yeah, they're maybe just not directed for you. It's like,
yes, maybe it's filtered out.
It could be, yes. You know, maybe like just, you're marking for spam, you see, yes, previously on your Gmail. So I think
that's why I'm missing some of the ads. Yeah.
Have you anything you'd like to advertise?
Well, I would love to add.
That's great, thank you. So, what I'd like to know is, we always edit that in a second. There is a story we've told us years and years and years ago, good few years ago, about your time working on the makeup counters.
Yes.
And many of the guests of the podcast have asked or have mentioned it, but I won't let anybody speak about it.
Yes.
Until you come on yourself.
Okay.
And it is the story of the coral lip.
Yes.
Yes. And do tell our listeners who are waiting with bated breath.
Yes.
The fuck is that?
So again, you know, going back to whenever I started in cosmetics, I was the only male on the shop floor, you know, because men didn't work in cosmetics. Very, very occasionally, like a wee staggered one here and a staggered one there. The point where there was this woman came up to me, and I was in, I think it was either Boots or Debenhams, and she walked past, and then she stopped, and then she looked back again, and she stopped, and she looked back, and she walked over, and she goes, here, does your mummy know you do this? And I said, yes. And here she goes, and what does she think about it? And I was like, she loves it. She goes, isn't that brilliant? And then she just walked on. And there you go. And it's all about, everything is all about visualisation. And
yeah.
if you normalise what difference, because if I'd said to her, oh no, she's, you know, she thinks it's terrible, she might think that was a bad thing. Whereas her concern was, does your mum know that you do this?
So much with hair. Uh-huh. Does your man know you do this?
Because you don't know that she might have a child that is starting to look into makeup, and she's going, well, you know, his mum's okay about it.
Yeah.
And
so
he's working here and he's employed. So maybe my child, if this is a road they're
could do
going
that.
Down, yeah. They could. So that's, you're changing people's hearts and minds without even thinking.
That's literally, you just reminds me, that's my mum. Even in my episode of the podcast, when I do drag, she's like, right, great, mm-hmm. and what? Like, I have a few dresses for you, son.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, they wouldn't, I don't like him. But they're still like, thank you anyway, that's great.
So I used to work on, in cosmetics, and what happened with there was, because I was such an anomaly, because there were no men, there's no
a
men
big
in the company, and
flashy
so
fruit.
and I was great with banter, and you know, so I would get great sales in. So then I end up doing all the events around the UK and Ireland, and then helping with the training and stuff like that. So they would send me to the major stores,
right.
And then whenever the manager for Oxford Street, London, was off, I would go over and I would be their cover. So I would, you know, do the cover for Oxford Street, and it was great. I loved it. But my thing was, they would sometimes have things like, you know, the product of the week and things like that. I never pushed a product of the week. I said,
it's always shite.
Yes. I always said, make the person look their very best and feel their very best. Because if they go out and they look $1 million and they feel $1 million, then they'll more likely to come back. If you sell somebody blue lipstick, like I used to work for this company, do you remember Elamasca?
Oh, indeed.
And they wanted us to put black lipstick on like somebody from the Shankill, and I was like, are you actually being serious?
Are you fucking serious?
And they were like, this is our product of the week. And I was like, I am not putting on, because one,
nobody wants black
then
lipstick.
Then I could talk somebody into like black lipstick.
Why?
You know, and then they go home and then their husband or their child goes,
fuck.
Are you fucking not white? Get that off you.
What
you are
look
you
like
doing?
A fucking chimney sweep.
And then that person who you've built up to been like, and you've lied to,
feel it,
then they go, well, that person's a liar, versus I put on something that makes them look amazing, and they go home,
like,
and somebody
that
goes, oh my god, you normally wear like a bright red lip, but you've got this, what's different? They feel brilliant.
So anytime I came to the counter and you were like, get that black lipstick, and I did, that was a fucking lie?
No, but that was your character. Your character was gothy at the time,
well,
and blue, and you know, all that type of thing.
All that crap. I still have it in that drawer.
Yeah, I'm like, sure it does, and I'm sure it's got its own heartbeat by this stage.
Oh, well, no,
so,
sure it does.
Long
as
story
short, blind.
Sorry, coral lip. So I was...
Well, this is the podcast of tangents, and there hasn't been a tangent yet, so I need to go off on one. You've been done about fucking shite. I'm sitting here like...
Sorry, no. Dear. I know. I keep meaning I need to drop you. You're like Trump. You need to say something every 7.5 seconds.
I need to be entertained. No, yes. I'm only joking. The coral lip then.
So I was in Oxford Street and there was this lady. And
is that what happened?
Yes. Ah. And it was all, you know, it was great crack and everybody was going on. And I just saw this woman and she was in this lovely wee trench coat and she was really well put together. But I vibe with people because I work very much, even in my day job now, is all about vibrations and things like that. And there was something about her that just caught my eye and I was like, she just needs a wee bit of something. I could just tell by her that there was something up. So I said, do you want a wee free makeover? And she was like, oh, I don't know. I said, sit down there and I'll do something on you. So I was doing a wee bit. I had this routine of tinted moisturiser, which was easy over everything, and a wee bit of a highlighter. And I was showing it to her and I said, is everything all right? And she goes, well, she said, I've literally just put my daughter on the train up to Manchester. And she was like 8 or 9 or 6. She was very young. And I'm really nervous because... And in my head, I was like, oh, well, she's going to see her sister, so that'll all be grand. And then she said, because she's just told me she's been sexually abused. And she said that she wouldn't talk to me, but she would talk to your sister. But I'm in the middle of doing, you know, like a makeover, and what do you say to that?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, listen, what about a wee coral lip? And then so she was offloading, but then while I was putting her lipstick on, that meant she couldn't talk.
Yeah.
So then while she couldn't talk, I was putting the lipstick on and I was saying, well, listen, what you need to take away from this is that your daughter trusts you enough that she told you and that she feels safe enough to tell
somebody else.
To tell somebody else. I said, because there are people who only deal with this when they're in their late 40s.
Oh, God, always
and
later.
She
and you're like,
was like, I never even thought of it like that. But it just gave her that wee moment. Then she got to see it from a different perspective. And I know that she went away a lot lighter because in her head, all she heard was, my child has been sexually abused.
Yeah, you're just thinking about that.
The bigger picture is that she trusts you. So whatever you're doing as a mother, and I made sure to tell her this, whatever you're doing as a mother creates enough safety within that child that she can tell you this. But she's maybe just a bit embarrassed and she'll tell the big details to the daughter and it'll not be as embarrassing because
people feel shame. But we're not laughing at the thing that happened. I actually thought the story was, because it's been a long time, remember? I actually thought it was almost like, oh, I've just buried my husband. And you were like, oh, well, a coral lip.
No.
It was even worse.
Like, there was... But it was that thing of like, what the fuck do I do here? And I was like, oh, coral lip.
Coral lip.
Because okay. I was trying to think, Heidi, I need to, she's offloaded and I need to kind of like figure out what to do next, because I don't want to be like, you know, this is the big thing that's just been dropped on me.
Well,
so then I was able to twist it round. But then where Lady Chips comes from, no, Lady Chips, the coral lips.
Oh, yes, that was.
Came from, it was either the first or second Pride that Maverick had on. And I have a feeling we were meant to be outside or inside or something like that, and something happened and we were having to restructure the entire show, all the shows that were happening.
Was it culture?
It was a pride.
A pride. Probably the weather then.
And we were trying to restructure where everybody had to go, and you know, some doing upstairs and some doing downstairs. You were supposed to be outside and
yes,
all this type of thing.
Weather. Definitely the weather.
So Mark is standing there going, right, what are we going to do, and blah, blah, blah. And Andy was standing there and she was going, right, but because I was hosting the thing, so it was me, Andy and Mark all sitting there, and I was going, right, well, who have we got? So Mark had the two running orders in his hand, and then Andy had ran to, you know, get a wee thing in her ear. So Mark and I are standing there, but Andy had handed me her chips and red sauce, right? Now, I was going, what we'll do is we'll put so-and-so here and so-and-so there and so-and-so there and blah, blah, blah. We'll do this and do that and I'll do this and then I can run up between here and do there. Blah, blah. So we had kind of restructured the order, but I, without even realising, I had ate her chips because as I was talking, maybe just nervous energy, I was going, right, so I ate all these chips and then I was going, why the fuck have I got chips? I don't even like ketchup. And I was like, so then then I came from Coral Lip to Lady Chips at the
Coral Lip. I remember that because I think we were standing. I was like, oh, fuck me, look at Lady Chips there. The inner chips starting to bring out. We were like, oh,
and
great,
then
okay.
Andy came back and just like, where are my chips? I was like,
they're gone.
I've literally just had these. I didn't even realise I was eating them.
That's right. I was like, oh, fuck, where's Lady Chips there? And I'm getting it all sorted out. It's like, up them stairs, right? We're doing this. Just had the chips and they were gone.
Yeah, no, sorry, Andy.
Oh, fuck. Oh, but there's been so many nights that we've had out and so many drunken nights. Mm. I love when you get the drinking, you know, you are. A powerhouse.
Oh, but it is, because I'm all about having fun. Very I nice. Really very I much, and I very much love enjoying myself.
Let your hair
but
down.
The
bitch.
Thing about it is, I don't need to. I'm secure enough within my own skin. I don't need to be like.
I don't need to be fish. You can just play right.
All the time, and I drive to most of my gigs because what I discovered was, and it allowed me to buy my first house, was whenever I was going out and working. At one point, I had 2 pints of gin and tonic. In my hand and 5 pints of gin and tonic behind the bar that customers had bought.
Oh yes.
So every time you went out, you were buying drinks, and then it was taxis there and back, and then it was, you know, a kebab, and it was whatever, and it was, you know, because Trudy and I then once we left the Parliament, we had gone around to Union Street. And again, Thursdays became the funnest night of the week.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So Thursdays were, you know, Thursdays. As fun as, you know, a weekend night. And people would go out and then they would all head into the Kremlin and, you know, all that sort of
after
stuff.
After the club night. You said karaoke, isn't that right?
Karaoke. And then we went in and then people would follow us all into there. And it was really, like, it was a vibe. And
yes,
the thing about it is,
it was all a good night.
Now, at the age that I'm at and enough time has passed, when you're in a moment, it's sometimes very difficult to understand what that moment is and, you know, what is being created and what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
But we, at that point, were building a scene and creating the vibe that you've got, that you guys all have today.
Yeah,
but at that time, we were just living our everyday life.
It was just, normal. It wasn't like, this is what we need to, because we haven't seen this somewhere else. It was completely just being created because it
was. So whenever stuff like that was happening and nights going on, and as I say, I remember Anthea saying, like, we had the fire marshals in and we had to get two fire doors put in because it was, and that's why the shoe factory happened and that wall got knocked down so that they could do
and more people
put
that way as well, just in case. Mm-hmm. it had grown and then where it is now. There it is. It's fabulous. And then of course you were left Union Street and you went over to the Maverick then. You started up over there whenever it opened up.
Well, so no, I didn't move over to Maverick. I left the Kremlin because it was just getting very difficult. It was just it wasn't a very harmonious environment to work in, and it had stopped being fun. And my thing if I'm not enjoying something, I don't do it. So I left
I
with
the
medics
same thing.
in the same vibe, and it stopped being fun.
I feel exactly the same. If it's not making me happy and it makes me actually miserable to get into things, then I tend to.
But it was also getting to the point where I was starting to drive around the corner and pull up and get knots in my stomach and butterflies, and then I was going, what are you doing? You know, like this used to be something that
you
like, was so I couldn't wait to go to, and now I'm pulling up outside it and I've got knots in my stomach. This isn't very good for me, and I didn't have anything else to go to, so I just left. But then I got the Face of Wild in Dublin, which was this nightclub in
That's
Dublin,
right.
Which was really, really, you know,
I remember
amazing.
That photo
was,
shooting with the gold, lovely gold thing. Still
fabulous.
Got the picture.
I do. I have
absolutely.
It. There's one in the salon and one in my living room because
fabulous.
the
at least you got good pictures out of it as well.
And the photographer from that. So Touche Éclat, you know, the Yves Saint Laurent under eye.
We
treatment.
Sell that on board. A woman actually asked, excuse me, do you have the Touche Éclat?
I was like, Touche Éclat.
Excuse me. Yes, absolutely. I knew straight away. I was like, Touche Éclat. Only in the one shade. So anybody, whatever colour.
You only
color,
get
like,
that at Nuts Corner Market, but I've got Touche Éclat on.
I was like, Touche Éclat. I will know the Touche Éclat.
Touche Éclat, you get out the back of boots.
But the thing is, from Becca Boots herself, she sells it and makes it.
Yeah.
But people actually ask for the weirdest things in the plane. They go, have you got a croissant? I was like, what? A croissant? I'm like, croissant.
I used to work for Benefit, there would, because obviously it was called Benefit, we in Debenhams, there was a Benefit centre at the top floor. Sometimes people would actually come into our counter with their Benefit books or their paperwork for their bed. I'm like, this is a makeup counter. I'm like, oh, it's not benefit. But then they would, you'd also get these like really fancy women who just thought they were brilliant. And they'd be like, oh, no, it's le benefit. And their friends would say, oh, is this benefit? And their friends would be like, no, it's like benefit. Or like, they'd, and I was like, no, it's just called benefit. Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, darling, you live in White Abbey, fuck up. It's benefit. Now yes. Get it on you, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
People are actually coming in thinking they were getting their claim. I'm like,
no, this is like, makeup. Honestly, oh, I was sorry. Like, this is why you're on benefits, love. If you actually think I'm going to process your claim and do your makeup at the same time,
I actually would have been like, yes, no problem at all. There's a thing I do sometimes in work, and people ask, like, if it's been on an airport, and I've never been to it before in my life, and somebody goes to me, and how do we get out? And I'm like, somebody the other day was just, when you went that door straight up, take a left, go right to the very end, follow everybody right out the front door, is not she there. And then somebody goes, is it? I'm like, couldn't tell you. Say it with belief, you'll be
but
all
that's
right.
The thing. If you say things with confidence, that's people it. Will believe everything that you have to say. Mm-hmm. So the photographer in
Portia
Dublin,
is really good at drawing. She's amazing.
She's amazing.
Saying it with belief.
She is like, great. What's saying is believing, but just you don't see her.
The Skippy Bop one too. The only dance move you will ever need in your career.
Yes.
That's one thing I actually can't do. I was like, how do you do a wee Skippy Bop one too?
Skippy Bop.
I think I did do it one night, and Trudy was like, you done a Skippy Bop one too? I was like, didn't even fucking know. I'm raging. I should have the moment video.
I know. How did I do that?
How did I do that? Oh,
it's
great.
So funny because sometimes I look back at wee videos and things. I go, oh my God, I remember that wee move, or I remember that wee move, or how did I do that? And then I'm watching myself, but how did wee hands and things like that?
I always watch, remember Sunday Bingo Show, watching news for years coming out, and everyone had their own specific sort of numbers mm-hmm. they were doing. I was like, oh, here she comes. You were always like Sex in the City, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, look, here she comes now.
But it was actually like, for me it was lovely because it was very challenging, because Jerry and Gordon, Trudy and Tina were in the M Club, and they basically did the M Club routines
dancing,
and yeah. they knew them in their head, and Bunny and I weren't dancers, but they would maybe go through the routine twice. And then that was it.
That was it.
And
we're ready to roll.
We had to kind of, had to almost pick it up there and then. And it was, so it didn't come naturally to me. And then I was always very nervous because, you know, and I hate that, like, side-eyeing and going, right, what are they doing? Or looking, you know, because they knew it.
Yeah, it was almost yes. fine. It was grand. There is still routines. I'm sort of very excited. And so Pled and Trudy are quite dancy, and I'm sort of like,
but the good thing is, then I was able to watch some of their wee movements and the things that they were doing, and then the groovy train. And then in my own personal style, then I was able to take some of the wee disco moves and add them into my own stuff as well.
I think before doing drag, I moved like a cardboard box. Mm-hmm. And now in a pair of heels, like I'm barely in a room with cobbled floors, like I just did in Madrid. I'm like, cobbled floor and a high heel, my shoes were ruined.
I know.
I was absolutely... Oh.
But it was terrible.
They got fixed. But to believe getting the caps in the bottom of the shoes up in that Timpsons, £11.
Oh my goodness.
Very fucking dear. Sorry, folks, if just talk amongst yourselves there. We're discussing the heat prices here.
But whenever I worked in Wild, they had, because it was a, you had to go downstairs, it was in a basement.
That's right.
They had concrete floors, but they had these like random, it was like a gridded concrete floor, but it was solid, so it wasn't like wee bits
yes,
of grit.
Yes, I know the ones you're talking about. So it's anti-slip.
Destroyed, yeah.
Oh, it wrecked your shoe.
Completely destroyed your shoes. So what I did was I got these wee pair of
slippers.
Well, they were kind of like, they were like a black court shoe with a leopard print heel. So when everybody would arrive, as people were arriving, I was in my like drag shoes.
I remember them black court shoes with a leopard print heel.
Yeah, and then whenever people would, when the club got really busy, I slipped into those because nobody could see your feet anyway.
No, you were just walking about, nobody could see.
And then I would always say goodbye to everybody, and people had to walk upstairs. So I slipped back into my regular shoes. So as they walked up, then I was in nice shoes to say goodbye.
So you'd your meet and greet shoes, and then you'd your walking around shoes. See, yeah, it's a clever woman. She knows what she's at.
Never switch off. Never take a day off.
Never take a day off. She's still going to travel in the world. Whereas I'm just like, either they do my shoes, and then the night I got out of the taxi and both heels went. The two shanks. I was like, yeah, bastards. Thankfully, an extra pair is always carried in the bag, just in
there
case. It's there you are, folks. Just an insight into.
Isn't that amazing that canoes do that? I didn't think canoes were. I thought they were a bit sturdier.
No. These ones are made from shitty wood. Bonfire wood. It's like they're made
is
out
that
of
from Shea wood, Shay, or what's that thing that people buy their clothes from?
Sheen.
Sheen. Yeah,
oh no. I think I've bought two or three things at a Sheen, and that's been about it. It's sometimes it comes and it's absolutely, I call it Chinese lies.
Yeah.
It's like that's not a size 18. Mm-hmm. That would only go around a lamppost.
That happened to me once or twice, and I was like, listen, I'm over it. You know what I mean?
Because
I'm not buying lies. I'm not wasting my good hard money on lies, even if it's £2.
So, well, I know it's £2. Some things you get and they're like, fuck, brilliant. I have a good jewellery and stuff, and I'm like, happy days, that does it. Now, it has a shelf life.
Yes.
as you see around you, it's all hanging here. It's great. Mm. One thing you catch on a dress, that's the end of her.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I thought that I was sitting here in Tiffany's with all these diamonds. Are they not real?
No, Stacey's why I've asked you to wear the white gloves if we're handling any of the jewellery. Uh-huh. If you not to get your mucky banger fucking paws on them.
I was just like, where is my breakfast? Because I am in Tiffany's.
I know. Well, you are sitting at the beautiful table here as well.
I love it. I know this sequined... pink sequin table.
Yes.
And is this what you do your ironing, or is that literally how you do your makeup?
No, it's just so I can set equipment here, and then the makeup gets done once everything gets put away. It's a beautifully set up room.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
It's like audio description for the blind, the deaf, and the blind. Like, audio description for the deaf. How the fuck does that work?
So but it's perfectly and very functional because I did exactly the same thing as well. I got, but you know, like a writing bureau. So I have.
Yes,
and the front folds down.
Oh my
so
God.
I have that. So I've everything. In
it,
the thing comes
that's
down.
Very good.
I have two clip-on lights that go on either side, and then everything. So
it's
all
not
my
a permanent
brushes are
feature.
Here. No, but it stays up because it's in the equivalent of like a dry room.
Oh, right. But it's not taking up loads of space. You can fold the other way
and fold away, and then in the drawers there's the spare stuff, and then there is the everyday stuff that you use is just to hand. And
just
then
where it needs to
your
be.
Your spares, your extras, and then in the cupboards underneath are things that you know, like specialist padding or overstock or
specialist padding.
Yeah.
Tell us all about your specialist padding now, Miss Marcus.
Well, sometimes I like a wee underlift. You know what I mean? Just to give you a bit of a boob. You know what I mean?
Oh, a little bit of a boob. You were always a flat chested queen, weren't you? Never really
well,
did.
Well, sometimes it depends. I take notions.
This is it. Well, see now, recently I've taken a notion not to have it, did I?
Yes.
Because it's roasting. It's the summer, and yes. I think I've had enough.
Here was
of
my
bras.
Reasoning of why I didn't wear bras or boobs for a long time. Because
you had a double mastectomy.
Yes, because
coral lip.
Boobs or bras are very restrictive as to what you can wear. And my thing was, I would rather look lovely in an outfit. Mm-hmm. And you know, in those days, I had a beautiful wee face, nice hair, nice shoes.
You don't have a beautiful face now.
It's harder. It's a bait face. The face is bait off me. Back then, I could get away with a wee bit of lip gloss and whatever.
Up here, you still can. I must say, you are still the most feminine thing I've seen now. Skippity bopping.
Back then, I was like, I don't care that I don't have boobs because everything else looks great.
It looks fine.
And very few people didn't even register with them. It was the whole package looked great.
Actually very true. So it didn't register because you don't, even the other night when I was on Sunday, actually, it was very warm and I was like, I'm not going, this outfit doesn't. Same sort of thing. The straps is the thing. You would see a big black bra or something like that. And I was like, I'm going to wear this.
Nothing worse.
I don't need the straps. So let's do it without it. Nobody even knew. It was perfect.
And then my
it was
thing
very
as
comfortable.
Well,
I didn't have a sore back the next day.
Depending on what you're wearing. So we used to do quite a lot of costume changes, right?
Oh, yep.
So say I was wearing a bra and then I was wearing something that you could see your shoulders or a halter neck or something like that. You would have two big white lines where the makeup would come off.
Yes.
So then all of a sudden
your
outfits didn't just look as nice. And I was like going, I want the overall picture to look nice. So if it's just a wee tweak of a boob thing, I don't really care.
It's grand. Like, I have a lot of stuff there that even hasn't left or went out yet because I'm like, okay, where that way? I have to do it without a bra. And I'm like, be brave. You don't need a bra.
Yeah, I know.
It sounds like a makeup effort. Be brave. You don't need a bra.
But you don't because the thing is, people are buying in to what they're seeing. They're as human beings, we only scan. So whenever people get really caught up in like, I have a spot or, you know, this is wrong or I don't look or this doesn't look nice, you're only seeing that because that's what you're transfixing on. As an ordinary everyday human being, what we do is we just look at you, scan you up and down and go, this all looks great. It's only if something looks way off.
Yes.
So I used to run cosmetics cancer charity workshops for women who had cancer. And the big thing was your eyebrows are
was
sisters,
that
not
look
twins.
Good, feel
better.
Better.
Yeah.
That's right, I remember.
And what I would tell the women is, in your head, before you lost your hair, you just assumed that you had matching eyebrows, but actually you didn't. So as long as there is, you know, a symmetry, it doesn't matter.
And I remember what you told. I remember this one thing when we changed in Unity upstairs in the green room, and you went there. And Bunny said the same thing. They're not twins. They're sisters.
Sisters, not twins.
Sisters, not twins. Yeah. That's it. Yes, sorry, they're not twins. They're sisters. Mm-hmm. They're not
sisters, not twins.
Yes, and I was like, and sometimes I still look at them going, it's fine. They don't need to be exactly symmetrical. It's fine.
And then
and from a distance, nobody knows.
Women would be in a very state of anxiety, you know, having to draw, they've lost their hair and they don't recognise themselves. And then they would get so transfixed on like a millimetre. And then the more you work at it, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
So my thing was, do them go and have a cup of tea, open some post.
Yes.
And by the time you come back, you'll go, actually,
you see things
that
different.
Looks fine.
Yeah. I do the same thing. I do my eye makeup. I work from the top down.
Yeah.
And when I do my eyes, then I go down, put the dinner on, you know, while I'm getting ready for the gigs, do a wee bit of, come back in and go, that's actually quite nice. You'll do me for tonight.
I'm surprised you wear makeup. I thought you just went outside and got a beaten and then just put a wig on.
Well, sometimes I do, but some nights I like to make a bit of an effort to make. Sometimes
but
the lamps aren't available.
Your wee girl was egging you, and you know, and
we were egging. You know, that was actually me and another. Yeah, I've absolutely hated my next door neighbour, and I was telling a lady P earlier on that
girl,
we just basically ran
girl.
Past with a
can't
kid.
Can't wait to the 21st.
The, I know.
Can I come right on the 21st?
Yes, of course. Great. She's getting kicked out, so. 21st of May, she's getting booted out.
She's getting evicted, so I'm coming round, so I am front row seat.
We will all. I've actually been selling tickets for my garden. I'm like, we're just having like a garden party hosted by Lady Portia.
And Linda next door, bring her in too, because she's
absolutely.
About to hit the
fence. We'll all be out to watch.
We bunting and everything, have a street party.
But I remember ages ago with the kids around the estate, I was like, Mum, I'll go and egg her. Full drag after a daytime gig, and me and a load of kids, I was in flip flops, run past the house and pelted it with eggs and run on, then came up around the corner and went, what happened here? Well, who egged your windows? It's terrible. A man dressed as a woman. Yes, it was me.
Folks, hola, chica.
We're going to take a very short break as we have an advert from a brand new salon that has just celebrated its very first birthday in Belfast, and the advert will tell you all about it, but we will speak to you in just a second. Oh, love, what's wrong?
Oh, I'm just so anxious about getting my hair done. I'm questioning my identity and sexuality, and I just don't know where to get my hair done.
My God, well, have you seen anywhere online you can go to?
Well, there's this wonderful place, and it's a 100% gender-neutral salon with really cool staff, and they've got over 155-star reviews. It's called Embrace Style, and I've been looking them up online on Instagram, and on Instagram they're the number 2 Embrace Style.
Oh, my God.
But they look really, really great fun, and it looks like 100% gender-neutral, where you get free Prosecco, beer, specialist teas and coffees, and imported specialist coffee.
Hey,
and
I think I will
on
to
the
go.
Hollywood Road. You know,
Hollywood
East
Road?
Belfast.
East Belfast.
Uh-huh. Check local press for details.
Great. Let's get your car keys. Let's go.
And I think their tagline is, the only thing you have to identify with them is how you take your coffee. So everybody's welcome.
Fantastic. You hear there. Embrace.
Let's go. Someone. I'm going to embrace you. Get your hand off me.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the last section of today's podcast, The Laundry Room, and I am joined by the one and only the Lady of North Down, Lady Portia de Monte.
Well, thank goodness for the pokey came round there and we got a nice wee 99.
I know, the pokey van came while she was in taking a shit, and she's like, get me an oyster. I was like, that'll do. And we did, we had them, they were lovely.
Oysters?
I don't know, I've never been out to him before. Right. The pokey van is around my street, but I think he parks, it must be about 4 houses away, but I'm still like, too far. Mm-hmm. It has to be outside my fucking door.
Yes.
He gets my money.
I wonder, can you deliver it? A 99?
Can I just get a wee telecom that's slipping off though? Poor fella, they're standing out.
Listen, there's just a cone here and a stick of chocolate. No, I don't want it.
Excuse me, mister, can I lick the ice cream in your hand? Oh, okay, no problem. Uh-huh. What is your pin? I'm like, 2434. Licking away at his hand. Dirty bitch. So, yeah, before we went on to the break, we were talking about everything. But when we did, our paths cross when we worked at, I worked with you at the Sunday Bingo, where I started off back in the day. You were
and it
here.
Was lovely because you were so...
Shy?
What,
no, I'm only joking.
My thing is, I always champion people who want to do something. I always champion people who want to do something, right?
Yes.
And you just like Bunny, had this idea in your head and you had a character. Of, you know, and even the tumble dryer fact. And what's interesting about that is, it was from what my memory of why you were called tumble dryer is because it's... People say, well, where's that come from? But you'd never forget it. Because you could have been Roxy anything, but the tumble dryer meant that people wouldn't forget.
Ever forget.
Who
I had somebody in the plane go to me, yeah, tumble dryer girl. Mm-hmm. Like, Or even any sort of iteration of me, you tumble dryer. Like,
yeah.
Yep.
And even rusty hinges. I've rusted my phone as WD-40.
Do you?
Yeah. Questions got rusty hinges.
What have you got me saved as, you bastard?
I don't think you're in my phone. Oh, sorry.
Was that right?
You might have been in my phone.
You text me. You forget all the time. What's up?
Maybe I just go by photograph.
Oh, yeah. Because you'd be dyslexic and all. Sure, that'd be all right.
No, I think you're in my phone as don't answer.
Oh, yes. That's right. That's why she never answers the phone every time I try to ring the bitch.
No, but whenever I see people who have a real enthusiasm versus people that they don't people want it for quick gratification. It's like, yes, I'm a drag queen and this, but they don't realise how much work is involved.
Yes.
But when people actually put the effort in,
and you see then the effort?
I'm all in. You know, I'll give you as much advice as you need or as many tips as you want. Mm-hmm. But my other thing as well is I'm never going to be anybody's drag mother. I will be somebody's drag supporter.
Do you not buy into the whole drag mother thing?
I'm too busy.
I know that. But you're more of a sort of like, you're the mum that give away the children.
Yes.
Off to a home.
Yeah, they're all in boarding school.
Yeah.
My drag kids.
And you always got a C-section. Yes. You never give natural
birth. No, not natural birth. But what I'll do is I will give you all the support that you need and all the links that you need and any advice that you... And if I see something, obviously I would never say a word when you're about to go on stage. I know some people be like, but afterwards what I might say is, do you know what, when you did X, maybe if you did it like this, or see the way you're wearing that, maybe, do you know, I've worn it like that in the past, but I find it much easier to be like this.
Do that.
And then that way, all of a sudden, then it becomes, you know, you're actually mentoring somebody rather than, you know, building them up or taking them down. You know what I mean?
However I come at that, I just be like, you look like you've been on fire with that makeup. Uh-huh. I'll see you next week. Try better. And they do. And I'm like, see, now look at the help I've given. You look phenomenal.
I know.
Mm-hmm. You look like you've been on fire. It's the only way. Shout out to my lovely girl, Karma Violet. I'm only joking. I did say it to her, but she knows I was only joking. It's just absolutely delicious. Uh-huh. But yeah, you're definitely no drag mother. Yes. You would definitely be the some adoptive bitch. But the
thing is, I have great pride in the people that, you know, even someone like Anya Bex, and the same thing with Bunny, because people wrote off Bunny because she was different. Mm. But my thing was, Bunny knows the history. So Bunny, when the internet started, Bunny had researched drag and who these people were and American drag queens and all this type of thing.
Knew everybody.
Knew exactly, and came fully formed.
Oh, 100%.
I had never seen a drag queen that his first time ever going out in public. And we were doing he came around to my house to get ready, and then we were doing the karaoke, and I handed a microphone like that. He had a set. He was like, "Well, ladies and gentlemen, blah blah," and it was like he had been doing it for years.
Ready
and I was
to
like,
go.
This is amazing.
Perfect. And perfection. Then,
but because he looked so different, mm-hmm. and you know, his nickname would have been Robo, the T word that you can't use nowadays, because it was a usable word back then.
Mm-hmm.
But as a negative, because he's so stiff and he's that. But look at what he went on to create.
But that was the character. Bunny was a 50s sort of pin-up girl, and 50s pin-up girls weren't raving and doing stuff. They were very demure moves and very
elegant.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it was. And I appreciate it for that because I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I loved it.
And then it was the same thing with Anya. And Anya was, you know, very great at what she did, in the sense of she's researched enough, and she's really interested. Mm-hmm. And if she'd be like, what do you think, and she'd ask, what did you think of this, or what do you think of that, or what do you think you should do here, what do you think you should do there, and then you would see that she would actually take it on board and then progress and put herself through makeup school, because she didn't know how to do makeup, and put herself through the beauty thing so that she could do like wigs and stuff like that there, and
other
put herself through
learning
sewing classes. And it was like, here is somebody who actively wants to better themselves, rather than someone that comes along and goes, oh, I'm the shit. You know, the amount of people that I have seen that people have come up with that to me, and I'm like, okay, I'll see where you're at in 6 months.
You know, 100%. That's where I agree with you when you say instant gratification. It's like, yes, there's a lot of work goes into this, and when people come up to you and say, or just appear one night in a dress and a wig and go, I'm the shit, who are you? And I'm like, I fucking stood here long before you were even a fucking spunk in your dad's eye.
I know.
Let's not. Mm-hmm. 100%. I agree with it. It's because everybody sees RuPaul's Drag Race now and it goes,
yes,
let's go. And there's one phrase I love. I can't remember right off the top of my head who said it, but it was, drag is for everybody, but the stage is not.
Mm-hmm. And also,
like, do drag.
See, I had never experienced people that had never performed in real life. So I did the pilot for the RuPaul's Drag Race over in London.
Oh my God.
And,
yes, I remember that.
And I had never met anybody that had only done drag in their bedroom, because to me the internet was something that happened over there, you know, and I was kind of the generation that it happened to other people, and if I knew, I could Facebook and all that, but I wasn't really researching this or doing that, and I wasn't, you know, on the internet or anything.
You didn't
like that,
know about the names of queens and other places in America and all this shit.
There was this girl there was about three or four of them on that particular round, from the pilot. I think there was 21 of us, and a good good 7 or 8, had never performed, had only done looks. Like, this was in the early days of, like, you know, like, doing...
Just so doing a drag face and that's
they
it.
They didn't know how to do makeup from the... Or how to dress from the chest down, because everything was from the... So they'd never...
Yeah.
And, so it was, like, it was such an eye-opener for me. And then how the world was just starting to change a wee bit, because I'd never wanted to compare me to. So I'd never...
There's no other North Down housewives outside of North Down.
But that's the thing. And now I see so many of them, and they all look... They're all trying to be dead original and dead alternative and dead this and dead that, and every single one of them look exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Or are just so nuts that you kind of go on, I don't, you know, you've overthought this so much that even just an ordinary person just sitting down can't enjoy it, because you've almost taken the joy out of it, because you've tried to go too highbrow. And at the end of the day, what my thing is, people go out for a bit of crack. They are not coming to see your art. They are not coming to see you be the next this, that, or the other. They're in a night out and they want a bit of crack.
Yep.
So give them fun. A nice high energy, fun number, you know, something good, a bit of disco, bit of crack, bit of 100%. Banter. And then they go away and they're like, oh, I had a great night. Whereas if you do something that's a slow, inspirational about, see, whenever I worked in Maverick, I made it very much that the stage was an open floor, so everybody and anybody could come and do whatever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be no judgment, and I would give any support that they needed.
Absolutely, yes.
But I would try to steer them away from a Saturday early evening doing an inspirational love ballad that nobody had ever heard of.
Or extremely hard rock, gothy music. It's not sometimes a go-to, especially at that time.
Yeah.
I now have a time slot 8 to 10. Mm-hmm. And I do ask the girls, I'm like, let's try with something that people know and will respond it well. It is a Saturday night. We're not going to go like...
And sometimes, the like bite into a blood capsule, and then you can see the audience going, what the fuck's that? You know, but it's... That person has spent so much time and in their head and rehearsed it, and I'm going to do this, and they're really in their moment. So what I do is I whip out Jane McDonald, and then I just jump on and just bring the vibe back up again. And then maybe afterwards I might say something like, on a Saturday afternoon, you know, or in a, like if you were doing an arts program or an arts festival or something like that, that would be perfect
something
for that.
That suits
but
the
this
vibe.
Is, you know, this is Saturday, people are drinking, they're out with their mummies, or, you know, they're doing whatever, and that, you know, maybe somebody dripping in blood on the
There's
stage.
A hen over there, like, can we get a taxi?
Uh-huh.
And you're like, please, just stick around. It's not all like this. But I 100% agree with you because it's meant to be enjoyment. And also, if you're in juice drag, you should be able to adapt to.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a chameleon, adapt to your surroundings, because there's nights I've went to places and it is not what I've planned.
No.
In my, so thankfully I carry stuff that I can go change that on a dime.
But that's
quite
the
quick.
Great thing about having your phones. So all of my numbers are on my phone or on Spotify or whatever.
Yep.
And in your head you go, I'm going to do blah blah blah, and then you go in, and then you might start telling a story, and then all of a sudden I go, actually I have a number that'll tie into that.
100%.
And that's why I loved. Whenever I worked with Laura, and Laura was literally, her and I were as one doing
you
the
were.
Show. And that's why I did it for as long as I did, because she made my life so, so simple, because all I had to do, I knew all I had to do was walk out on stage because she had control of everything else.
She's amazing.
And if I started to tell a story, she would maybe bring music up on it. She would go and research, you know,
find a song that matches very fast.
But while I'm telling a story to somebody in the crowd, and then she would maybe find music and play it up underneath it. And then
thing.
I knew that music would never be an issue, so I could literally go out. Whereas when you got other people, and there was one wee guy, and he used to get really nervous, and then I'd be on stage and I'd be looking over, and he had his hands inside of his head going, oh, and one time he literally just ran out, and I had to go over, but I'm like, I have the microphone in my hand going, I don't know, like, I've, you know, he's meant to press play and he hasn't, so I'm just chit-chatting away, and then I'm trying to figure out how the machinery works, and then
did he
press
actually just run away?
Just ran out, it was too much for him. And
I'm sorry
to
hear where that is,
he had
but
just,
that's okay.
He had just, I'll tell you after. And
oh, thank
you. He had just run away. But the thing is, it's horses for courses.
Yeah.
So Laura, you know, comes from a theatrical background.
Yes.
She gets a show.
She knows exactly what we want when we need it. And she even, like, I would say something, boom, straight away. She knows when we were on stage. I've had her, DD Jen for gigs. Laura listens to this podcast when she quit for a morning walk and does my hair. And she said last week, oh, I can't wait to she slappers about me. Uh-huh. There you are, Laura. She's saying nice things.
No, the thing is, what I loved about Laura is because we could have that great banter, and we could set ourselves up as a cultural stereotype. So I would say, here I am, an effeminate gay man, dressed as a woman, and there is lesbian Laura, and she's a barber, and she's married to a footballer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can have fun, because we were taking the piss out of ourselves as much as we were taken out of anybody else.
Out of anybody else. That's what I do too.
Yeah, it's that's what it's all about. But even like simple things, I would sometimes get a bit frantic because somebody hasn't turned up or this isn't going on. But I knew no matter what happened, I would always have a working microphone, and she would press play at the right time, and
ready
she just
to
took all of that pressure off.
It's great.
It got a bit trickier though whenever the DJs then went away, and then you'd be on stage and you're lip syncing, and then the laptop might readjust itself or jump out or cut out, you know, and then you're on stage and then you are, because you're not a singer and you're I don't have a microphone
in my
hand.
Really quick.
I have to jump off and pick up the microphone, and I used to always say we got our laptops from the DUP. So they were deliberately trying to corrupt the show.
Oh, 100%. It's Jeffrey Donaldson's. They're being taken away for inspection.
Your man Arlene, she gave them. Uh-huh.
They were RHIs. Mm-hmm. But I do the DJ myself on a Saturday, but I have not everything so well done that it's easy peasy.
And even things like
our theme
songs
are learning, and theme songs. I show the girls how also to work the laptops. Mm-hmm. So they do get to, if you get to work with me, you learn your skills, because it's always nice to help learn
because
the microphone.
It is. It's
things.
About putting on a show. The thing is, people are there. So when you'd sound effects and cues and banter, and you could throw something at Laura, or I might even start down one. Oh, there's the pokey
back
again. Yes. More oysters. Can I get champagne with my oysters?
Yes, of course. No problem. I've elderflower pressé downstairs.
Oh,
that's
lovely.
The best
that's
you're getting.
Great.
I'm sorry.
That's great.
That's all you're getting.
So she would... She might know that if I start to tell a story, I might say, oh my God, I think I have a song linked to that. And I would look over and she goes, I have it lined up.
Already sorted.
So when you're working with somebody that is that in sync with you, it's magic.
100%.
Do you know what I mean?
That's DJ Glenn. Mm-hmm. DJ Glenny Boy. Mm-hmm. He is, on a Sunday night, has been fantastic by playing songs and everything. As soon as we say something, he has that in a second. Mm-hmm. Would look, and he knows exactly,
and it takes the pressure off. It just allows you to do you.
Let's do what we're talking about and have an absolute laugh at the same time we're doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, you worked at the Maverick for a long time with myself. I was there alongside with you before I went to the skies.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember your last night and all? And then we did the wish you were or the sorry you're leaving type thing and all the pictures and videos.
Yes.
And I did the This Is Your Life.
Oh my God, that was the funniest thing I actually heard. And we were all like that. We'll be at a ball that night.
It was very great. Uh-huh.
It wasn't even a big leaving. It was just like I'm off to do the training here, and I was like, I'll be back in a couple of weeks, and then I was away for a while, took a break. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just reaching for something.
And then I loved when there was like two people that you'd worked for in the past, and you're like, and you see you two down the back, and I was like, oh flip,
oh shots fired,
ding. It was hilarious.
I remember, it's bringing it all back to me now, says Lindy. On that was a gig. That was one of my good moments. I like that. But that was some good times. We did always have a laugh, and a lot of the
great
guests who have all been on before, we always say the same thing. We always had such a laugh. Doing shows and having such fun with each other.
What I used to love as well was the culture night, because it was great, and just going around the streets and, you know, just having a bit of crack with everybody.
Laugh.
And we always missed culture night because our show ended as culture night ended. But we would get the pickup of, you know, some of the DJs that were still playing and people still
going
all
around.
The merriment and the pictures and
all.
I loved it.
Many of us, all these queens, all out running.
And then do you remember there was that disco was in this, and one of you knew the DJ, and then they put on Let's Have a Kiki.
Yes.
So then we all just appeared from the back and did Let's Have a Kiki
in the middle of this,
and the crowd went nuts.
Went absolutely,
you know,
mental.
Uh-huh.
That was so good.
Yeah.
It was the same night. We're
and then we just get off the stage, pick a drink, and then carry on walking.
Walked off. Uh-huh. And there's me and you bringing up the rear. It's like, you're like, give me a fag. It's like, all right, we'll go on. Then we're walking with our handbags and two plastic glasses of gin and tonic and vodka and orange. Do you remember the black taxi that pulled up and we were like, excuse me, and opened one door
and then
go, that's us, thank you, and go to the other. You bastards. It's like, absolutely burning crack.
But you see, that's the thing. It is great. It's great fun when everybody see when people aren't being dicks. Sometimes you can get people who try too hard, and then you just go relax and just have a bit of fun, enjoy yourself. And my mantra in life is don't be a dick.
Don't be
That's
a dick. 100%. I can pick up a vibe or a dick vibe quite quick. If somebody's like, oh, like, I'll do your show, it's like, no, I'm already getting the vibe of you're going to be an arsehole.
You're going to be hard work.
No thing. Or hard work or torturing you every 10 minutes with voice notes going, what about this song? What about this song? I'm like, you go do you.
But it was funny because sometimes people would come to do the show on a Saturday, and then like they weren't there, but you sort of planned out the show and everything like that. But I would just start, I wouldn't wait on them because like I'm not waiting. And then they would come like arrive halfway through, and then they're like, oh, I can't believe you started the show. And I was like, do you really think I'm gonna wait
for you?
Wait, and all of these people are here, and like I started this, and you think I'm gonna wait on you, and you've arrived in your bloody slippers?
Just no, like, take your time, that's all right, no problem at all.
And it was interesting as well, I'm so incredibly grateful that I am not of the death drop era, because
no, me too,
you know, that like, though I feel so sorry, they are going to end up with like
everything,
broken bones, everything, you know, arthritis, all that, throwing themselves off. What pains me is that when they jump into the air and land on concrete on their knees,
I know,
and you're like, you know, no idea what you're doing. You're like, you're gonna wreck your body.
I have done it once or twice years ago, and the pain I've had from knees, I will never ever throw myself onto the ground or death drop. And the only death drop I'll do is into my fucking bed.
I know, that's like literally
good night.
And then I was hosting, or I was running this competition, and I actually had to put a death drop ban, not a ban, but a limit. And I said, because in my head, I was like, right, there's 12 people in this competition. Every single one of them, they do about five death
drops
a number. They just literally just throw themselves in the ground. So the mouths of that, of somebody hurting themselves, is going to be that this is going to happen. So what I did was, I said, you've got three death drops. And the competition that I ran, nobody got voted off, but they got points.
Yes,
so
point system.
You could do one death drop, the option of three, and I said basically do one in the opening, one somewhere in the middle, and then if you want to save a death drop finale, great. If you break something or if you dislocate something,
fault,
you'll be trailed to the side and we will work around you, because you're not trained in as a gymnast, you're not trained in this, you know. So if you fall and hurt yourself, I am not stopping the show. You'll be trailed to the side and the show will carry on.
Could your death drops be carried over to the next week?
Yes.
Like, I know I'd have three for that one, but can I carry over and do six the next week?
No, it was
like,
three. It was three for
the whole week.
For the whole thing.
Oh.
So throughout the
oh,
well, the 8 weeks,
yes,
they had three. But what was interesting is you could see them where they were in the middle of doing a number and they would go to do a death drop, but
like,
they
do
and then they didn't. So then they had to do something else because they relied so heavily of just throwing themselves onto the ground.
Like,
so then all of a sudden their brains, they had to make these new neurological pathways to go, oh, actually, this is what you do if you don't throw yourself on the ground.
Yeah,
you have to do something else.
Entertain people.
Yeah.
It's great, but after a while it gets a bit like,
I know.
Right.
But that's why I'm so glad that, you know, that wasn't a thing in my day, because I like my hips aligned the way they are.
They're perfect.
You know what I mean?
The hips don't lie.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel it far.
Oh my God. But yes, you've been a maverick. And of course, here, tell us a little bit about, I know we had the break there, a little advert about the salon.
Oh,
tell
yes.
But you are a salon lady.
I am, embrace style, where everybody feels embraced coming in and going.
Fantastic.
So our tagline is, so it's 100% gender neutral hair salon, right?
Fabulous.
And now, whenever that was first launched, there was a lot of pushback going, that's just unisex. It's not unisex. It is a 100% gender neutral non-binary space where people don't, our tagline is, the only thing you have to identify is how you take your coffee, right?
Yeah.
A unisex space means somebody's going to, there's a man going to barbers, there's a woman going to hairdressers.
Yeah, it's just split down the middle.
Yes. The embrace style is, even if you haven't figured out where you're at, you can come in here and there's no judgment. You just pick who you want to go to and you will leave feeling $1 million.
Fantastic.
And we've had people from the trans community. There was one girl came in, she hadn't been to a hairdresser's or done anything with her hair in 18 months.
Fuck.
All she did was take her hair around to the side, cut off the dead ends. Ooh. And when I seen her, she kind of like stuck her head around the corner, and you know, it was one of our first or second Saturdays, so the place was really busy, and we give away Prosecco and beer to everybody that comes in, or teas and coffees and all that. So
can
it's
just
really
come in
fun,
and have a drink?
You could.
Fantastic.
It's just a really fun,
have a sit.
It's a really fun vibe. So she kind of stuck her head around the corner. I goes, oh my God, come in. She goes, I don't have an appointment. Is this the Embrace? And I was like, yes. And
come
she
on
goes,
in.
And I could tell that she was trans and that she was very nervous and she was looking around because her experience before was a place of judgment. Whereas I was like, do you want to be Prosecco? And she was like, yes. And then she sat down and she couldn't believe. So she's literally in shock that she's sitting here. I'm chatting away to her. She's wanting to get a blow dry. And I put her in with Brenda Shankey, who is just the queen of all of that. And then I said to Brenda, she hasn't had her hair done in 18 months. So Brenda's like, come on, love. Right, you come and sit down. We blow dry on this. She goes, I'm going to cut some layers in your hair. We'll get that. And so whenever you're... And then, so she... Second glass of Prosecco. She's going, oh my, like somebody, I haven't at once ever had to identify myself as anything. Yeah. I've literally just come in here and they are going, this is how your hair should look. And it's the same with, you know, that we've got barbers and things like that there.
Yeah.
And how it came about was I heard two stories of people being put out of barbershops in the same week. So one of my client's daughters, she had two boys and a girl, and all three of them were at football practice. And the girl was very gender neutral, non-binary child, just figuring herself out, and tracksuit, short back and sides. All three of them went in to get short back and sides, and the barber did the two boys and refused to do the 9-year-old female. And she was humiliated in the bar, made a whole song and dance about it.
It's and, just her?
Yeah, like, and then refused to do it. Then I heard of old school, like a proper old school, very butch lesbian who had got her hair cut in, and probably presents more as male, and got her hair cut in this barber shop, went back about 5 or 6 weeks later with her girlfriend, sits down, gown on, barber goes, are you a woman? And she goes, yes. And goes, I don't do women's hair. Get out. And literally took the gown and put her out. And when she said, well, sure, you did my hair so many weeks ago. And he goes, I thought you were a man then. Get out. And it dawned crazy on me that I have never had to think about it. I have just gone to wherever I wanted to go. So below where I live, I actually live above the salon. But I'd heard these two stories and just thought, isn't that terrible? There I am in this position that I've never had to think about it. And then Margaret and Paul from the salon below, I went in to pick some posts, said they were retiring. And I was like, well, tell you what, I'll just open a 100% gender neutral salon. And what's lovely is it was the first of its kind and we're open a year. But I have started to see so many other salons put just that word in, gender neutral.
Yeah.
Because there is a difference between an organisation being unisex, because that means you've got two sex. When you're neutral, it's like everybody's welcome here.
Yeah, you know? It doesn't matter. Like sometimes there's a difference between men and women's hair. How is there a difference between men's hair? It's for fucking hair. It's like, oh, so men's hair costs this, but ladies are going to wear three times
but
more.
But it's the experience and how you make somebody feel. You can make somebody feel like a dick about getting their hair cut, or you can have somebody feel like $1 million and walk out on cloud nine. And 100%. We have over 150 5-star reviews of people going, you know, what a great experience, because the vibe is all about, you know, having a great time.
About having a time. Well, I tell you what, let's give it a wee ring.
And, why not?
I will be ordering an appointment.
It might be closed, actually.
Oh, well, hopefully somebody answers last minute. I'm like, hello.
Good afternoon,
Breakdown.
This is Carmel.
Hello, you alright?
Alright.
Hi there. I'm just wondering if I could be able to put in for an air cut.
When do you want to come?
Do you have any available dates towards the end of the week?
I don't have anything left until Tuesday. I'm afraid we're booked up until then. I could certainly take your name for a cancellation.
Tuesday would actually be alright. That'd be fine, yeah.
Tuesday, okay. Morning or afternoon?
Afternoon, lovely, yeah, afternoon. So the thing is, I'm sort of questioning me out at the moment. Does somebody be able to give me a bit of advice? Is that, well, when
yeah,
I come
yeah,
in
yeah.
and all, is that all right?
Just for your cut, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, so I don't know
what
to do. Whether I want a bob, or whether I want a fringe, or maybe a fringe bob.
So yeah,
it's just like, it's like different. And then, what's a gradiated bob? Like all these different bobs, I'm not even sure.
Oh, no, there's 1,000 bobs.
There's
bobs for everything.
Bob Monkhouse. Bob Builder. Crazy, innit?
Could you come on Wednesday by chance?
Oh, yeah, I can come anytime.
Give you more. What's your name?
My name's Louise.
What's your retail name, honey?
Hunter.
And do you have a wee mobile?
Yeah, no problem. It's 07817 201.
And you just want a wee wash, cut, and blow dry and a chat, yeah?
Chatting about, and lots of information about bobs. Do you have like a book of different styles or anything? Because I've seen places...
Well, what we normally do is we just Google all the pictures of hair and we kind of siphon it out that way. It's a lot easier.
Great, great. And is that the place that's run back drag queen, isn't it, I've heard online?
Well, he's the owner of the business.
The owner. And does he ever come in and perform and do shows?
Occasionally. Oh, not often.
Is there one this week? Is there one on Wednesday? Is there a show on Wednesday?
I don't know. There's a show on Wednesday? I don't think so.
Oh, well, let's hope. That'd be great.
Well, we'll have a word and we'll look forward to seeing you at 12 o'clock on this Wednesday night.
Fantastic. That's great, Milo. Thanks so much.
Can't wait to see you. All
have
right,
a lovely
love.
Day. Cheerio.
Ugh, wee pet.
Wasn't she great?
But you see, like, she's just like, yeah, can't wait to see you. It'll be great. You know?
No, that's amazing. But the fact you see 12 o'clock on Wednesday, you better be ready.
I will be there shaking a wee tail feather.
What was my name there? I was like,
Louise Hunter.
Louise Hunter. I just looked at you and went,
do you know, we do have a clan called Louise Hunter.
Oh my God. It's a small world. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Lady P, it's been an absolute pleasure of having you.
I'm sure it has been. I'm sure it's a delight for you to have
it. It has been
here.
Absolutely great. Just to let you know that your car has been stolen. Probably, from the front, yes, of the house, and there will be an Uber coming at your own cost very shortly.
Oh, well, that's good, because I am insured, so I can do an upgrade.
That
thank you.
Fantastic. Yes. We'll get the insurance money. Yes. But before we go, I'm going to hit with some very quick fire questions.
Okay.
And you just give me
quick
a very...
fat questions?
Quick fire questions. Oh,
I was getting those slimming all out. Week. How dare you?
You're looking absolutely awful. You look emaciated. That's your favourite
look.
Well,
that's my goal. I want to be an IV drip in a wheelchair.
That's perfect. You know, like a rich man in Miami. I'm like, that's the man I want. That old fuck. Is your receptionist, Carmel, is she American?
She's from Canada.
Oh,
but why
fabulous.
she's so perfect is that literally you could rock up there in, you know, a thong and a crop top, and she would just be like, oh my, wow, I love the colour combo, because she makes it, and so
Northern
does
faces.
Manny, and so does every stylist that works there. Does you could
nobody gives
come
a hug.
Whatever way, yeah. You know, it's you be happy and you
that's
be
it.
You
come yeah, comfortable yeah. Don't mm-hmm. worry about it at all. Mm-hmm. So my quick fire questions are,
yes,
your just nice quick answers, short answers is, favourite place to eat out in the city centre?
Oh my God, I Sid's Chippy Van.
Sid's Chippy Van.
Sid's Chippy Van. I love Sid's.
You can't beat it. Favourite drink. If somebody was to, if I just showed you across the bar, push, what do you want?
So it would either be Prosecco or a margarita.
Prosecco, margarita. She's a money woman. She's
yes.
got that money. Human hair or synthetic hair?
Just
in a
whatever
wink.
Comes. It's usually human, but if you just depends.
She'll take anything yes. going. She doesn't give a fuck. Fantastic. And do you like black or white men?
My dating history is the United Colours of Benetton.
Oh well,
because I like people.
You
know
love
I mean?
People. You love everything. You
yeah, yeah.
are a woman of the people, as
yes.
you always say.
Exactly,
she
Princess
is a woman
Diana
of the
reincarnated.
People.
That is me, dear.
And what has been your not worst, but most awkwardest or most stand out in your head, like, oh my goodness, wow, gig of your career?
Oh God, so there was a time when Tina's dad was quite ill, and it was she was booked to do in the very early days of Civil Partnerships,
right.
And she had asked if we would cover a gig that she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Bunny and I went, and it was in Porta Down in the Seagull Centre.
Oh, right.
And I think it had just opened and all this type of thing. And it was a lesbian wedding, and one member was from the travelling community, and there was such controversy around it because none of the members of the travelling family came up. They weren't supporting it.
Right.
The other families were there, and they were all really awkward. There was only three gay people at the entire wedding.
Oh,
the two brides and the best man. Everybody else was straight and really uncomfortable. And then Bunny and I come around the corner to like a wee intro and like, woohoo! And do you know, I have never entered a room and people not gone, woo! There they are!
It's...
We literally walked in and it was like crickets, and we were like, oh! So then we were like trying to do numbers, and but they'd never seen a drag show.
Yeah.
So they didn't know how to, you know, we finished a number and they're like, oh, you know, and then like the wee best man was like, oh, that's great.
And the rest of them were just stirred.
I did a cartwheel in my high heels. And
your pool never hanging out of the bag.
Didn't even get a raised eyebrow. And then when it finished and we were just kind of like milling about for a bit, everybody was running, can we get a picture? Can we get a picture? And they just didn't know how to react. They had never seen a drag show in their life. They didn't know how to react. And but it was for that, like whatever time of period we were on, I was just like, this is horrific.
Yeah.
And then
and it feels like horror. You're up there doing it, you're like, oh my God.
Before Maverick, it was a place called the Fox's Den.
I remember that, yes.
And they didn't, half the time they didn't even have a microphone. I remember one time and the guy was like, I was like, Mike, do you need a mic? Lights, do you need lights? Yes, I need fucking lights and a microphone. Yeah. It's a very bare basic. Like, what do you
it was very
do?
Dark. The Get Fox's up, yeah, Den yeah. was black as your boot. Uh-huh. And he's like, oh, do you need light? Yes. Do you need a mic? Uh-huh. I'm not going to scream
and
across
like,
the room.
Faffed about and ran about, you know, as though like literally I was asking for this cat, basket of kittens.
Everything. No, but you make sure you take them with you.
No, I will.
They need a home for God's sake. I've stolen them.
I'll give them to your next door neighbours because she's moving.
She's, yes. Post them through her door.
Moving 21st.
But once again, thank you so much for joining me. You're an absolute
thank
star.
You.
Where can we see you? Where can we heckle abuse at you? Apart from to Embrace Salon.
Well, so what I do now is specialist gigs. So I don't do any of my regular residencies. So now I do specialist things. So I've got some racing dates. I have got some private events. I've got some parties. And I have got some, you know, like just wee fun things.
Bits and pieces.
So, and the nice thing is it's a dream life. You know what I mean?
100%.
It really is.
You're enjoying it and you're suiting yourself.
Yes, uh-huh.
Fantastic. And of course, if there's anything she is at and you buy tickets for, you will definitely find it online.
Oh, of course. Oh, yes, actually. I'll tell you, that is a good little plug. So, Eastside Arts Festival, we're doing the Dragtastic show.
You've
and
been
this
doing
is,
that for a
yes,
while now.
And the great thing is, we have got Devon Green from, she is going to be in the show with us, coming over from LA, and her partner, Handsome Ned.
Wasn't Devon Green? Devon Green was on Drag Race as a judge.
Yes.
That's right, I remember
and
that.
And she is going to be, so she's going to be at this year's festival because we're besties.
International here.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fabulous.
So,
and when is Eastside Arts Festival?
It is going to be, I think it's the last weekend. So the Eastside Arts Festival is from the last week of June or July to early August, and Dragtastic is falling somewhere in the middle of that. Thanks. Cherry and I are also doing the Drag Queen storytelling as well, and we're also going to be running a stand-up comedy workshop. So so for 4 weeks you can train with some top stand-up comedians, and then your first gig is going to be in the festival. So look out
so
for that.
Any budding
stand-up comedians, but how to craft a joke and how to deliver it. And
there's some drag queens out there could definitely give that a whirl because they need it. Fabulous. Well, one more time, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks.
And everyone else, thank you so much for listening once again, and of course listening every week to all of the episodes. I really, really do appreciate it. I hope you are all well, and of course I do always ask, if you want to send in some stories, some cracks, some banter to be read out on some of our episodes of the podcast. Maybe you've got an embarrassing date story you want me to read out. Maybe you want me to discuss some current topics or what's my opinions on shits and giggles. Anything at all, send it in and let me know. Just give me a shout on Facebook and Instagram and I will, of course, get it on the pod. Don't forget, you can catch me live, loud and in person on a Saturday night at Union Street Bar, 8 o'clock until 10, with cabaret, crack and lots of banter as well. And, of course, Sunday nights in Union Street too. Don't forget, coming up at the end of this month, it is the last Sunday in May. It's the bank holiday weekend and it's the Drag Brunch Bunch at the Balmoral Hotel. The tickets are on sale for that and it always sells out. It's always a fantastic show. So make sure you come along, you check out the show because you're going to love it. In the meantime, I will see you on the next episode of the Laundry Room Podcast. Have a good week. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Woohoo!
Fuck around the pussy.